Welcome, Lola Lennox. It's a joy. It's a joy finally to connect with you. We kind of We missed each other like ships in the night in Ibiza when you were over, and haven't seen you for ages. And we're friends, so it's this crazy pandemic situation, isn't it, where we are not seeing our friends around the world as often as we want to.
Totally. Like, I've been in America during the whole pandemic, but my dad's in Ibiza where you are, and I hadn't seen him until Christmas for 2 years, so finally getting there was so nice. But it's just been crazy because we haven't been able to see our families or friends or, you know, travel in the way that we were used to. Like, luckily now it's getting better, but it was a crazy time, and I missed you as well.
So you've been busy with your songwriting and your singing, and it sounds like the whole lockdown thing kind of focused you onto that. Is that right?
Yeah, it was like a weird synchronicity where I'd been writing for a long time and developing and kind of doing a lot of music behind the scenes, purposefully not sharing it because I just wanted to be in my own space to find my sound and really get comfortable in the music and feel like I could release something that really felt like me. And then I planned in the beginning of 2020, this is the year I'd shot a music video in the end of 2019. I was like, now I'm going to start releasing. Little did I know what was going to come in March. But when it did come, you know, I thought, you know, the world is changing, but I don't want to adjust my whole life around, you know, fear of the unknown. So I went full steam ahead, and it just happened to be like the year where everybody else was like at home in their pajamas, like kind of going, God, I'm a bit bored. I was at home, but I was busier than ever, like making singles and music and having interviews with different people and just getting the music out there and heard, but all of it virtually. So it was an unusual way to launch, but it worked for me that year. So
amazing. And I think creativity, I'm a big fan of creativity. And I think it was one of the unexpected outcomes of the pandemic that people, because they were stuck at home and wondering what to do, that they lent in very much into creativity, whether it's writing, singing, dancing, making things, whatever. And it seemed to be like, for example, books, my thing, books. And like so many people now reading books more than ever because of the lockdown. So it has had a massive impact on people.
I think creativity, like often it comes from a very quiet space within, and it has this kind of, for me, if I get that spark of, oh, I want to make something, it's coming from something quite pure. And often in life, you know, we wake up, we get the coffee, we have this schedule to do, and we don't, because of all the doing, we can get a little bit disjointed from that subtle parts of our brain that, for me, those are where the magic can really happen, and figuring out what is it I want to say or put into a song, or what is the sound of this song and the feeling of the song that I want to express. And so getting quiet, it's the same with meditation, getting quiet, it can really unlock some special creativity within you. On the flip side, also big moments in life, like being excited, going to a festival and seeing like huge, you know, a big stage with loads of crowd, like that can also be equally inspiring. So I think we were missing that, but there is definitely something to just getting quiet and sitting with yourself. I mean, I think a lot of people, I have a lot of friends who felt like they worked through a lot of emotional baggage as well, just because of how quiet everything was. It was like, now's an opportunity for me to like dig deep and kind of like work through some of this stuff. So yeah, there was opportunity in the not doing of that time.
Interesting. So it sounds like for you, creativity and songwriting and your quest as a creative person is quite a spiritual endeavor. What would you say to that?
I would definitely say like it's spiritual is such a big word. I think it's going inward for sure. It's finding that space in your heart and this quiet moment of how do I put something that is in my soul out? And for me, it can be, it's through sound. It can be through, you know, a pen for some people, or a paintbrush, or filmmaking, or writing. But for me, it's putting all of my chapters and journeys and life lessons and trying to distill it into something that's 3 minutes and 30 seconds. And that is through lyrics, but that's also through, like, you know, a certain melody can invoke such a certain feeling, and it, that feeling can be different for everybody. Like, I listen to somebody like Nina Simone, and it's so emotionally saturated, and just like, it's her heart like bleeding on her sleeve. But it and how I perceive somebody like Nina Simone, somebody else can hear it in a completely different way that's just unique to them. But I also think in terms of spiritually, music awakens you. You listen to it and your heart opens and your mind kind of goes into this other world that feels more expansive and more beautiful. And you know, I take a lot of walks, and that's when I really listen to music, and I feel like I go off on some sort of like inner adventure when I'm listening to these songs. They can be nostalgic, but they just take you to different worlds where I'm just walking down the street, but it feels like a completely different scene. So there's definitely, I mean, so many people get so much from music and songs, and I think that is a very spiritual and very pure and beautiful thing.
Gorgeous. And what's your process for writing songs? How do they arrive with you?
It depends. Like, I've been writing a lot more by myself recently. So as opposed to writing in a session with other people, like over lockdown, I was doing some sessions on Zoom with people. They were like in the UK and I was in America, and we'd just figure it out. But this year I've been writing a lot more by myself, and I've just been sitting at the piano, and I just kind of play some chords and some sort of like shapes on the piano. And, you know, it's getting to be more and more, when I don't work with somebody else, I can really go into that state of flow where it just kind of unveils itself. Like, I'm not pushing. So play the chords. And then I'll usually start with a verse. Sometimes I start with the chorus, because it's like the chorus is obviously the most potent moment of the song that you remember. So sometimes that's the melody that comes through first, because it's the strong one. And then it's this balance between being totally free and being very discerning between editing certain parts of the melody. Because, like, you could have a simple melody, you could start off with something, but you want to make it sound special and different. So I can start with the melody, say it's like a kind of shape, and then where does the next shape go? And like, it's subtle changes within the development of the song that make this kind of like unwrapping a present of a melody within a verse. So yeah, it's this fine line between flow and going, does that work? Oh, I don't know. Like, that's something I think when I was younger, I didn't have the discernment as much. I'd go, yeah, it's great, I love it, it's so fun. And I'd kind of get average. Now I'm like unpacking. Does that work? How does this feel? Well, maybe that doesn't work for me. Like, there is a lot of, you know, I'm trying to perfect it and craft it and carve it out. And then once I've kind of shaped a melody, often words kind of naturally start to just come out. And I just have this notebook and I'm scribbling words down, and like the shapes of the word, you know, one word will trigger another image, which will then be the next lyric. Or it's kind of very natural. Like, yesterday I sat down and wrote a song, and like, you know, it doesn't take that long, like probably from top to finish, like an hour. Just piano, voice and lyrics, but because it comes out quite naturally, and that for me, it's really refreshing when the lyrics, they've been coming very naturally recently. And like, you know, I've had times when I've just been sitting like banging my head against the wall trying to get the lyric out, and like when it just comes and I'm like, oh, that's what the song's about, it's so nice. Because in sessions sometimes I hear songs on the radio and I'm like, that's a session song. I'm not criticizing anyone. I love everyone that's making music and doing what they're passionate about. But there's this kind of formula within a session where it's like, this song's going to be about this, and we're going to use all the words, like say, this song's going to be about heartbreak, and we're going to use all the trigger words around heartbreak. And it just sounds a little sterile and predictable. No criticism, but there's something when I'm letting go of the rules and just letting it come in and come through, where I'm like, I don't really know what the song's about, but these words are coming together, and they're putting a picture of me and whatever it is that I'm trying to express here. And it just feels more like it just feels more authentic and flow. And maybe it completely doesn't work, but maybe it does. So it's cool.
How do you know the difference of when it's working, when it's not working? What are your indicators for that?
I don't know if there is a formula, like a way to predict it, because sometimes I write a song and I love doing it and it really flows. But then I listen back to it a few days later with fresh ears and I'm like, no, I learned through that process, but like, it's not something I'd share. Sometimes I write songs and it's a struggle to like get the music out, get the words out, understand what it is. And it's like, it can sometimes be a bit of like, oh God. And then that can be a really great song. So like, to be honest, there isn't a formula, but yeah.
And what's next for Lola Lennox? What are you bringing out this year? What's on your agenda?
So I'm going to be releasing my next single called Want More in April. I was working on that over Christmas. Well, no, we finished it in the end of January. Yeah. I love this song. Can I just pause for a second, Susie? Yeah. If we're going to release this around the single, can I talk a little bit about the song and go into it?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't done that with anyone yet, but like,
yeah. But if, no, we will hold back.
I can't talk about it, but if it comes out with it, then I'd love to talk a little bit about
Let's talk about it and then you decide the date.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Okay, great. So I'm releasing my next single, Want More, in April, which I was working on I finished it around toward the end of January. It's called Want More because I was in a place when I wrote it where I think as human beings, we always have this feeling of like never being satisfied, and we have these dreams and aspirations and goals for ourselves, and then we get them and we're like, okay, on to the next thing. And then those can be big things like life goals, or those can be small things like I want that t-shirt. And like, I think with social media and being able to compare and seeing everybody else's life and kind of living in this highly, you know, consumerist society where it's all about what we have, how we look, what we're doing. It's like, I just get exhausted by it all. And so the song is expressing that. It's like, I'm never satisfied. No matter how much I try to obtain for myself, I get it and I'm on to the next thing. And you know, I think the Buddhists say like desire is the root of all suffering. So that's what the song's about, Want More. So I shot the music video last week. Time's going by so fast, I don't even know. I think it was last week with a good friend of mine called Grace Pickering, who's like an awesome photographer.
Okay. And music video director. I'm going to stop you and get you to restart that bit without a last week reference.
Oh yeah, sorry.
Yeah. So we'll just start. So tell me about the video. Tell me about the video that goes with the single.
So I shot the music video with a good friend of mine called Grace Pickering. She's an awesome music video director and photographer. And I've actually known her since I was like 16 years old. And I was spending time like thinking about how I wanted to express the meaning of the song through the video. Yeah, it's a lot of I'm using color kind of as an expression, like some of the scenes are like I'm wearing all white, and then it kind of starts to evolve into like I start to wear more and more red, and the red is like a symbol of this desire, this craving, this always the wanting more, and this kind of evolving. I was saying to Grace, like, it's let's flip-flop between reality and oblivion. So reality being this kind of stark place where I'm kind of like everything feels very literal and real, and then the want more feeling this feeling of desire and this feeling of like an unquenched thirst is kind of like obliterated, like a bit surreal. I don't know where we're going, but feels like, yeah, this is like altered reality. So we had fun putting the treatment together and creating it on the day. It's all shot on 16mm film, which is just so cinematic and beautiful looking.
Gorgeous. And how do you feel about live performances, given that a lot of your work, by the sounds of it, is done studio-based?
Yeah, I mean, I really miss playing live. It's kind of crazy that I've released all this music and haven't been able to, like, connect to a room with it. I hope the time comes soon this year that I can, like, start playing and expressing it. You know, before I was releasing music, I was doing a lot of gigs in LA. I had a band, and we do little gigs like Hotel Cafe and places, like different venues around LA. I used to play in London a little bit as well. And it's just so fun to like, it's a magical moment, and to sing, I really connect to the feeling of the song. It's very like, when you're in the studio, like I connect to the song, but I'm trying to like make it something that's an imprint forever. But there's something when you're playing live, it feels like an in-house party or something. It's, you know, it's not all fun. It's also quite serious and can be quite scary beforehand. And like, it's pressure. But when you feel good in the moment of performing live, it's like, it's very freeing and just it's a great experience.
And I guess you get the kind of feedback that you want from your work immediately. And it's a really nice feedback loop. And I know when I'm writing books, I know that I'm not going to be there when people are reading them. Whereas you as a musician, if you're at the front of the room, you can see and feel and sense exactly how people are responding to you.
Yeah, it feels like an arrival point of you've put on all this work behind the scenes and people haven't really been able to see it. And then the night that you get to share it, it feels like kind of like an amalgamation of it, all the effort that you've put in. And it's kind of like a celebration of that. And yeah, I never really thought about that. Like in other creative endeavors, like as a writer, you don't really, maybe you can read the like Amazon reviews or something.
Yeah.
Feel good. I don't know.
By then it's too late. You've done it. They go, I really hated that bit. Yeah. You're like, oh no, I can't change it now.
We need a Susie book party.
Yeah, exactly. So tell, how would you describe your music and who's really inspired you in your journey?
I mean, since I was little, like I was always listening to the old classics, like Aretha Franklin, Dusty Springfield, The Supremes, like I like die for music from the 60s. And I think it's more than just the fact that it's from the 60s with these kind of like organic sounds, is also just like their singing is off the charts. Like the singers from them, the powerhouse female vocalists, Adele as well, Amy Winehouse, mm-hmm. Joss Stone as well, like Duffy. Like I love those kind of like powerful voices that are just like so expressive. So for me, it's kind of trying to bring a little melting pot of the past and the present in together, because I don't want it to sound like a pastiche of the old times, but I want it to have the flavor and the soul and the roots of the old times. Mm. But I also want it to have a beat and a hit and make you want to move and have something that's fresh and exciting to your ear, something different that you haven't heard before. And I guess you could call that pop, but.
And your voice is very soulful. I mean, it's very Aretha-esque, isn't it? Well, the sound. I know that's a huge compliment for anybody, but it's true. It has that depth to it and a very distinctive sound that is quite incredible. And listening to it, it's very hard to describe how sounds make you feel. Tell me about your singing career. How did you get started, and when did you know, yeah, I can, you know, this is where I want to go?
I mean, so when I was a kid, I would go on the road with my mom. She'd be on tour, and I'd watch these kind of electrifying performances in a room full of people going mad and just like, not mad, but just like, wow. People were like startled by the power of the music. And I'd sit there and I'd be like, wow, this is quite powerful stuff. And it was like great just seeing, you know, the behind the scenes and the rehearsals and the bands coming together, and just something, there was something just magical about music. But that didn't make me go like, I want to be a singer. I think I went to school and I had two singing teachers. They were sisters, and one would do more like classical. I did kind of like an array of different genres. One would do like classical, one would do like jazz, musical theater, pop. And they were so great. They really like took an interest in supporting me and like giving me like a wide range of material to learn. We did like school concerts and choirs and competitions. And I think that really like gave me a base of learning of like how to approach learning a song and like how to pull out the flavors and the personalities of melody and lyrics. The choirs gave me like a ear for harmony. And I think it was in doing all of that where I was like, this is what I like, it like lights me up. I love this so much. I just want to make this my life. Mm. But I did go on a bit of a like wonky road at points, because I was saying that I did all the genres, and I knew in my heart I wanted to be writing and making my own music, but I did have this kind of like comparison shadow where like the pressure from like the kind of pressure I put on myself and expectation, because I had this like, my mom is like such an incredible, you know, singer, and I felt like, or singer songwriter, just her whole profession is like so incredible, that it felt like on me it was like both incredibly inspiring, but it was also like, oh god, this is a lot, like how do I start this, like I'm a little shy, like I'm a 16-year-old girl, and like I've never written a song, I don't know if it's any good, but like you've got to start somewhere and kind of be vulnerable in the starting. But I was shy, a bit secretive about it. Like I'd go down and like write songs in the basement, like on the piano, like by myself. And it was all a bit like hush hush. But I was doing all the genres, and my singing teacher was like, you know, I think if you audition for the music schools in the UK, I think you had a shot of getting in. And I was like, okay, cool, fun experience. Like, this is a challenge. I never considered like, oh, if I get in, will I go? I knew if I got in, it wouldn't have felt like the right path for me, but I just didn't consider that I would ever get in. So I did the audition for Royal Academy of Music, and to my surprise got in, and it was such a compliment, because like, wow, that is like one of the most prestigious music schools in the UK, and the kids that go there are like off the charts talented, and they put like hours and hours in every day to perform, to practice. But I just was like, I'm not an opera singer, like this is not who I am. Like, I love singing opera, I loved it, it was such a fun challenge, but like I just didn't see my life as that. But I went to the Royal Academy kind of going, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm just going here, I know there's this other thing that I want to do, but I don't know what to do. I was there for 6 months and left after about 6 months, because I was like, this isn't right. And it took courage to leave, you know, because people expect you to honor something like that, but I just knew it wasn't right for me. Mm. And then when I left, I put a band together in London, and we started doing some shows, and I was writing and doing some different sessions with producers, but I was struggling a little bit to like kind of get my foot in the door and really get the ball rolling in the UK. And then my mum was playing in, she'd done an album called Nostalgia, and it was all jazz standards, like covers from the past. And she was doing a performance in LA, and she was like, you know, would you like to do a backing singing there for the show? And I was like, yeah, that sounds really fun, I'd love to do that. And that gave me a visa to the US, because it was in LA. And went and did that, and I was like, oh, while I'm here, maybe I can do some sessions with different producers. And I remember like I called up a few people I knew, and I got a schedule through for like, here's your sessions for the next 2 weeks. And I was like, yes, because it was like every day writing sessions every day. And I was like, now's my chance. Like I can prove that I can do this now. Because in the UK, it was like I was trying to get some, sustained amount of time in the studio. And then I was like, right, I'm just going to stay in LA. And I just kept extending. I was doing sessions, writing lots of different songs. It was really fun. It was like such an adventure just to turn up at a stranger's door and be like, hello, like I'm here to write a song with you. And then, yeah, that kind of set me on the path of being in America and writing. And I was, I spent a long time kind of developing and finding my sound. And, you know, if I could go back, I felt like now looking back, it was a little too long. I got a little bit like, I need to get music out now, like toward the end. But it was also precious time as well, because it did give me that ability to explore without the pressures of like, okay, we've got to get the next song out, I've got to get the next song out. So yeah, and then in the beginning of 2020 was when I released it was my first single. I think my first single came out at the end of 2019, I think, and then I started to release more music in 2020. Yeah, so I've since then I've just been, I think I've released about 6 or 7 singles since then.
Amazing, amazing. And when you look to the future, what's in your vision? What would you like to be on your road ahead?
I mean, for me, it's like creating is like what really just makes me so happy. So if I can have like a space, I have a space to create now, but if I can just be able to go into that place every day, not every day, but as consistently as possible to write and just feel like I'm putting parts of myself into music and like having that, then like I'm very like hands-on in the production phase as well. So like then, letting that song cook and like building it up, and just like really putting myself and into the process of creating. And then, getting to share it with the world. Obviously, like I love for people to hear it and enjoy it. Like it's such a special thing for me when I hear that, I get messages from people saying like, oh, it really, I was having a bad day and I heard the song and it made me feel better, or like whatever it is. So obviously, like I'd love to start touring and getting to play more live more, and just like being able to live as a musician and having it's such a I recognize how lucky I am that I get to do it. I work really hard at it to try to be my best, and just to have a happy and also a balanced life, because sometimes I can get too strong with it, and then I get the pressures, and then I get anxious and stressed, and that then it can implode a little bit, because then I'm like, what am I doing this for? It's the thing I love it so much, but it's hurting me as well. So I'm definitely learning to walk that path of like balance and like self-preservation, and that's still a lesson I'm going through right now, but I think it's one for everybody to learn, like finding balance in life.
For sure. I think that's something that, has become prevalent for everybody on the planet in a way, particularly as with these weird time we've had, and understanding that life and being a good human is about balance and how do we achieve that, and also do what we love and do it passionately. So what is your sort of routine musically? When on a normal, how much are you working? How much are you keeping up with your music side? And what does that balance look like?
It depends on what stage in the kind of cycle of a song I'm at. Because, like, I'm either at the beginning stage, the writing stage, the production stage, then the kind of gearing up for the release stage, which will also be like, making a music video and doing some shoots. And then there's the releasing stage, which is, meeting with journalists or like doing social media stuff. Sometimes I do some live stuff on social media. Hopefully, I'll be in a room at some point soon. But yeah, so it depends on what stage I'm at, but if I'm writing, I have like a studio space, which is a recent thing. Before I was writing everything at home, we had like a little mini home studio just in the living room, but now I have like a proper studio, so it feels like I can go to work, which is really nice. And yeah, if I'm writing, I just either sit down at the piano alone with my notebook, then I'll put it down. Like once I have a song formed, then I'll put it down in like Logic. So like I'll record just like a rough demo, or I'll, work with people in a session, whether that's in their studio or on Zoom or at my studio, it depends. Production phase is like going into the nitty-gritty. It's so fun because you're like bringing out these colors and giving the song flavor and personality like this, but the production is like that's the part of like, I think we have like 200 tracks in a song or something insane like that, where it's like it's so much more layered and nuanced and detailed than I haven't realized. But I've really been enjoying, like I've learned a lot with the production, like sitting in the room, because my boyfriend's the producer of most of my singles that I've released. Braden Wright is his name, and I sit with him and he just goes through, and we try not to just like, you can just have a sound and put it down, but we're like, no, we don't want just like the sound from the computer. Like how can we mess with the sound? And there's so many different like plugins and softwares that you can just like make the sound authentic and different and a bit weird or cool. Yeah, we really dive deep into every single track and try to make it something that feels special.
Wow. And are you in writing mode at the moment, or what mode are you in?
Well, at the moment, because at the moment it's now or once the podcast's out.
Well, just generally in life, are you do you, are you feeling sort of inspired and creatively poised to keep writing? Not going to
Yeah,
run
right
out of material.
now. Yeah, no, right now. So I'm writing songs for this EP that I'll be releasing in the summer. So I have songs, like I have a library, a playlist library on my iTunes of like potential singles, but I'm also like, oh, I don't know, I feel like I can up one, like one up these. Like I definitely will have like single tracks that wouldn't, sorry, not single tracks, like album tracks, like the songs that maybe wouldn't be like contenders to be like radio hits. But the and for me, like that's really nice because every time I release a single, it has to be like it has a beat. It's like strong and it's like got a strong hook and it makes people want to dance. But to be honest, like I love those that music. But for me, music is such a spectrum because as human beings, we have all different shades of emotion. And like, so you know, for me as a singer, I like singing, like I said, like Dusty Springfield, Aretha Franklin, and those are more like mid-tempo, like soulful. So I'd like to put some more album track styles that don't have to like grab your attention the minute you hear it and are a bit more like sensitive and like maybe a bit more melancholic. So yeah, I'm hoping to put some of those on the album.
Gorgeous. How exciting. Oh, Lola, it's been so nice to get a sense of you as an artist, as I have a sense of you as a beautiful human being. I know you from, on a social level, but to talk to you about your music and your passion and your creativity is just wonderful. And I think in our chat today, people can get a real sense of who you are as a human, as well as a beautiful singer. And I'm sure everyone's going to be so excited to listen up to what's coming next, see your new videos, and look forward to hearing this amazing music coming through. So I want to
Perfect.
thank you so much for having such a lovely chat today about creativity and
Oh,
music and
thank
songwriting.
you. Well, I'm so appreciate having the space to talk about it and to sit with you for a little bit because it's been
Oh.
some years since I saw you and you're just such a special soul and I absolutely love what you're doing here and I've listened to some of the other podcast episodes and it's really important for people to be talking about creativity and life and having these deeper conversations because it's really I listen to so many podcasts and it's really inspiring to hear the stories of people's lives. So thank you for pulling that out of people on this platform.
It's just so nice, isn't it? I mean, we can appreciate art and music on so many levels. We can listen to music, be social, dance, enjoy and love it, and have our emotions pushed up. But and it's so nice to know where it's coming from and the kind of character behind the sounds and all of this. This adds such richness to it, I think, to really get to know artists and to get to hear them talking about their work is just dreamy.
Totally.
So lovely. Lola, and thank you so much for today. And I'll put in the show notes all about what's going on next and when it's released and where people can find you and so on. So for now, I want to say big, big thank you. Big hug, cyber hug. And
Cyber
lots
hugs to you
of
too.
hugs and lots
And
of
to
love.
everyone listening as well,
Yeah,
cyber
cyber
hugs.
hugs. All right. Lots of love.
Bye.
Bye.
What's that? Bye.